One of the hallmarks of a good TV show about family, of which there are many, is the sense that one is catching a glimpse into a mirror. We've got Modern Family, The Flintstones, some people like The Sopranos. One of my family's all-time favorite TV shows is Seinfeld. And youth, I might lose you here for a minute, but stick with me. The show, Seinfeld, follows four single friends who are navigating life in New York City. And they're at this time, they're sort of functioning as a family unit, the four of these friends. And one of the friends, George Costanza, has a particularly difficult set of parents, and his parents like to pick fights with George. And on one episode, George's father, Frank, invents his own religious holiday. Frank Costanza is just fed up with the sentimentality and ubiquity of Christmas in New York City. And so Frank invents Festivus. And Frank doesn't really speak, he just yells. He says, "Festivus is for the rest of us," he's yelling. And so in place of a Christmas tree, Frank has a steel pole. And instead of the traditional holiday feast, the Festivus meal peaks with the family airing of grievances, which is a scene in which the Costanzas and his friends, they all sit around a family dinner table and shout out all the ways in which they have disappointed each other over the years. The Bible has a lot to say about family. One of the most popular metaphors in the New Testament, and one that preachers like to use for the church, is God's people as a body. Within this image of the body of Christ, each one of us has distinct roles. Each one of us has a distinct function. And this metaphor can be really appealing, and it is appealing because it emphasizes the unique and irreplaceable roles that each of us has that keep the body alive. And we tend to gravitate towards this metaphor for the church as the body. But the New Testament's most commonly used metaphor for believers in Jesus is the family. Scripture tells us that when we enter into this family, we enter into it by new birth, and then we become children of God. Paul writes that he's entered into the Christian community once again by childbirth. Writers of the New Testament, writing these early letters before the gospel, they often call each other brother and sister. In children's chapel each Sunday morning, the children of St. Paul's give thanks for what we like to call our faith family. Tuesday night, we had a baptism class here, and there were 8 children at the class, 5 of whom will be baptized next month. And we gathered around the baptismal font, which is by the entrance to the church, and we talked about what it means to be welcomed through baptism into a bigger family. Some of the children were really enthusiastic about this prospect, and some of the older ones I caught kind of side-eyeing their fellow baptizans, and I wondered if they were thinking, like, we get to choose our friends, but we don't choose our brothers and sisters. The image of family in the Bible is less concerned about the uniqueness of individuals and instead can blur role distinctions. So it draws upon the realities of living in close proximity with each other, with the guarantee of struggles, as we know the early church had. And the family metaphor presents problems that we can't ignore. In my own household, we have 2 children in diapers right now, and my husband Benji, there's this trash can in the nursery, and it's specially designed for diapers. And it wasn't until my husband Benjamin was traveling for work recently that I realized that he's the one that always takes it out. So, you know, this thing is piling up, and I'm thinking, who's going to do this? And then I realized it's going to be me. And in family life, people have different gifts, that's true, but the family has to love one another and care for one another regardless of what each person's individual gifts are. That's how the household keeps running and how the family survives. The New Testament's imagery of family is enriched by the stories. It hinges on the stories of our ancestors, the family of Israel. Our reading this morning from Genesis tells the story of a very interesting family unit. It's a family system. And since it was our first reading, I'm going to offer us a traditional rabbinic interpretation of this, which is by Will Gaffney. So Gaffney interprets the story of the family from the perspective of the two women, Leah and Rachel. This is the story. Rachel and Leah were ordinary sisters. They had largely separate lives. Leah preferred indoor life, and Rachel preferred outdoor life. Neither was much interested in marriage. Following the rules of the household established by Milcah, their great-grandmother, they were asked if they would marry each time a suitor came forward, as their Aunt Rebecca had been asked, and each time they said no. They said no to intra-family unions, they said no to the neighbors and strangers who came by, and they said no to unions outside the family. Then one day, their cousin, Jacob, came to town looking for a woman from their family, his family. Their father said one of them would have to marry him. Aunt Rebecca would not take no for an answer. Jacob asked for Rachel and offered 7 years of his labor in exchange for her. She spent 7 years getting to know him, but she never came to love him. He turned to Leah to help him win Rachel over. The more he pursued Rachel, the less interested she became. The more time he spent with Leah, the more she came to love him. When the time came for the wedding feast and the consummation, Leah and Rachel agreed to switch places and told their father what they had decided. They waited until the deepest night and put out all the lamps in the wedding tent. Leah hoped that Jacob would realize that it was she whom he truly loved. Jacob was angry and disappointed. He demanded Rachel. Laban, their father, tried to dissuade him. Rachel hoped he would give up, but he stayed another 7 years. Jacob's pursuit of Rachel broke Leah's heart. The more she held for him, and the love that she held for him and for her sister soured. When Rachel finally consented to marry Jacob, she was at the end of her childbearing years. He did not care. He wanted her, and finally he had her. That Rachel still did not want him and that he never wanted Leah wounded Leah deeply. Leah carried that hurt to her grave. She held on to and acted out of her deep hurt. She was never reconciled to her sister. This faith family story is incredibly messy. When Rachel is unable to have a baby, in the next chapter, she feels deeply that societal pressure to bear children while her sister Leah taunts her. Rachel feels shame that her older sister is fertile while she is barren. And in the next chapter, it says that God remembers Rachel, and she bears a son whom she names Joseph. And our psalm today talks about some of this lineage. Okay, so here are some elements in this one chapter in the story of God's family in Genesis. Sibling rivalry, unrequited love, a troubled marriage, infertility, jealousy, and deceit. And yet, God loved this family. God stayed with this family, the lineage of the Israelites. As a faith family, God the parent loves each of us equally and expects each of us to nurture and care for one another, even though we wouldn't always choose one another as friends. And in a faith family, someone needs to empty that trash can or it will stink, and it doesn't matter who takes it out. We know that the Judeo-Christian tradition is not some wellspring of that mythical, perfect nuclear family. The Israelite ancestors were a mess, but God was with them and used them to change the world and to pass on the faith. Our same God, our Lord, born to an unmarried teenager with questionable paternity, is also with us. That God works through us to pass on the tradition to our youth and children. The image that Scripture gives us of family is paradoxically perfect because our faith family is an imperfect reality. Our faith family is a gift from God that we can't claim. Only God knows the corners of our hearts. Only God knows who we're side-eyeing at the baptismal font. And only God knows who we are deeply caring for anyway. Leah and Rachel were full of drama, and so was their husband and father. God chose them and stayed with them. And God has chosen us and remembers each of us as we continue this endeavor of loving one another.